Now then, a few weeks ago, it's a couple of weeks now since I last spoke, and we were talking about the spies going into the land, into the land that God had promised them. We talked about Joshua and Caleb, and we asked the question, do we have a different spirit? Amen. Do we have a different spirit? Turn, if you will, this morning to Numbers chapter 13. We're not actually going to read there, but you can keep your finger in that chapter, because that's the chapter that describes the adventures of these men as God sent them into the land that they were about to occupy. 10 spies came back with a negative report. Joshua and Caleb came back with the truth. Hallelujah. And the truth was that this was an amazing land, flowing with milk and honey, just like God would said it would be. They came back bearing the produce of the land, two of them carrying on a pole between them grapes and pomegranates that were so numerous that two of them had to pick it up. And they said, Joshua and Caleb said, this is an amazing place. This is everything that God has said it's going to be. We need to go in and possess it. The other 10 came back and they started to lie. They said, the land devours those who live in it. No, it doesn't. The land was incredible. And they came back and they started to spread lies amongst the camp of Israel. And because of that, because of their lies, Israel ended up walking through the desert for 40 years. How sad is that? That because of the lies of these men, Israel ended up walking through that desert for 40 years, until the generation had died out, and only Joshua and Caleb, the two men had been who had brought back the faithful report, actually entered the land. And the Bible gives us the reason why they were allowed to enter the land. And over the page in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, it says, but because my servant Caleb, and that included Joshua as well, has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Hallelujah. And we asked the question, what doth people with a different spirit look like? And I said I'd got four things that marked these men out as different from the rest. The first thing we talked about was that they saw things differently to everyone else. Okay? They saw things differently. Their eyes saw one thing, and the other 10's eyes saw something else. These two's eyes saw through the eyes of faith. The others saw only through the eyes of man. Joshua and Caleb went into the same land, walked through the same places as the other 10, and yet what they saw was completely different. The 10 saw problems, the 2 saw possibilities. The 10 saw defeat, the 2 saw destiny. The 10 said they can't. The 2 said, we can. Amen. And that's probably the most important thing that they saw. The 10 said, Saul, we can't do this. The giants are in the land, this, that, and the other. The 2 saw a land that was ready for the taking. And the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning is, how do we see our life? What do we see ahead of us? Do we see only challenges and problems, or do we see potential in the situation that we find ourselves in today? How are we viewing our life? Are we viewing it through the eyes of faith, trusting God that God has got everything under his ultimate plan and purpose, or do we see ahead only difficulties, only valleys, only problems, only heartaches. And some people live that way. Even some people that come to Christ seem to live that way. It seems like the baggage from yesterday weighs them down. That's one of the reasons the Apostle Paul said, put off every weight that hinders you. Don't let yesterday define tomorrow. Amen. Now, I never planned to say that this morning, so that's a word for somebody here today. Don't let yesterday define tomorrow. Everybody say that. Don't let yesterday define tomorrow. Sound like an American preacher now, don't I? But I feel that in my heart this morning, that that is a prophetic word for somebody here today. Don't let what happened yesterday, and yesterday being in the previous months or years, don't let that define where you're going as a person. Amen. Amen? Because God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And if we will seek His face and we will walk in His ways, the Bible says that every step of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. And God will allow us to go through some problems and some difficulties. And He will allow valley situations in our life so that He can prepare us for what is ahead. Amen. And we need to hold on to that. We need to believe that, first of all, that God does have our ultimate good at heart. Sometimes it doesn't seem that way. Sometimes we feel, where is God in all this? Where is God in the midst of this? That picture of that footsteps thing speaks that in volumes, doesn't it? Where the man is walking along the sand and he sees the footsteps alongside him. But when the going gets tough, there's only one set of prints. And at the end, he turns round and he said, God, where were you? Where were you when I was walking through the toughness, where I was walking through the difficulties? And the word comes back, I was carrying you. That's why there was only one set of prints. I was carrying you in the everlasting arms. Amen. And sometimes we don't realize quite how much God is carrying us. You see, they only saw challenges, but Joshua and Caleb saw a future. They saw the potential of a future. And so people with a different spirit see things differently to everyone else. Amen. The first mark of a person with a different spirit is that they see differently to everyone else. Hallelujah. Second thing, they say things differently to everyone else. They speak differently. Hallelujah. Now, I know we're going over old ground here. Well, that's okay. We need to get these things into our spirits. And sometimes it does no harm to repeat what's been said before. Because we need to get this into our heart and into our mind. They say things. They speak differently to everyone else. The 10 stood up before the people and told them, the land will devour you. Well, that wasn't very encouraging, was it? For a people who were about to go into a land that God had explicitly said was theirs. That God had prepared for those who love Him. Amen. The Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, we're looking for those things in the heavenly realm. Praise the Lord. Yes, we are. But we're also expecting to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. I think Terry said something last week about, you know, it's not just pie in the sky when you die. It's not even just steak on the plate while you wait. What did he say after that? Anybody remember? He had some pearl of wisdom, didn't he? About expecting that God was going to move in our lives personally. Here is God dealing with a nation. 2 million people, probably. And these 10 men come back and say, we can't do this. that land devours everybody. What a load of rubbish that was. Just out and out lies. The people in that land were enjoying the benefits of the land. They were enjoying the milk and honey. They were enjoying the grapes and the pomegranates. And so these 10 stood before the people and spoke a negative word. But Joshua and Caleb stood before the people and said, look, we can do this. We can take this land. And so people with a different spirit speak differently to everyone else. Now, we live today in a world that loves gossip. That's why the newspapers sell millions of copies every day, because people love gossip. People love the juicy bits about other people's lives that really they have no business whatsoever knowing. But people love gossip. We have a generation today that thrives on gossip, and sometimes that can creep its way into the church. Be careful. Be careful what you repeat, because stories seem to get legs on and they seem to acquire a life of their own. Be careful what you say. You see, people with a different spirit speak differently. They speak faithfully. The Bible even talks about the wounds of a faithful friend. Amen. We wound one another at times maliciously. You know, trying to pull down to climb up. That should never be seen in the kingdom of God. Leave that to the apprentice. Amen. You want to see an example of everything that's wrong with humanity? Watch The Apprentice and see those people there lying, scheming, cheating, stabbing one another in the back. Why? So that they can get a contract with Alan Sugar in his company. They'll do anything. They'll stop at nothing. Oh, they hug one another and they love one another, and then they interview them. Oh, it's sickening. I literally find it sickening to see. And that should never be found in the kingdom of God, that kind of an attitude. The kingdom of God is that we serve one another, that we wash one another's feet, that we speak with a different language. We don't speak the language of gossip. We don't speak the language of bad news. We don't speak the language of a negative report. Sometimes we have to think, well, if I can't find something good to say, don't say anything at all. Amen. These 10 men condemned 2 million people to wander in the desert for 40 years until every one of them was dead. And sometimes gossip and slander and naked ambition in the Church of Jesus Christ condemns people to a life of spiritual mediocrity, so that we never reach the potential of where God wants us to be, both as a fellowship together and as individuals within that fellowship. Let's be careful the way that we speak. Hallelujah. As followers of Jesus, we've been given a different spirit. So we need to make sure that we speak differently to those who are around us. So, people of a different spirit see things differently, and they speak things differently. Thirdly, they submit differently. Okay? They submit differently. Moses and the people of Israel had been told explicitly by God, Numbers chapter 13 and verse 2, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. Okay? It's not ambiguous, is it? It's very difficult to interpret that statement from God in any other way except that nation belonged to Israel. That land belonged to Israel. You can't interpret that any other way, can you? God doesn't speak in riddles. If God wants us to know something, he'll make it clear. And he made it clear to his people that he was giving them that land. That land was theirs. It was theirs for the taking. I don't think he could have made it really any clearer than that. And yet, when they saw the obstacles, they forgot what God said and focused on what they felt. Amen. They no longer submitted themselves to God's word. They went by their feelings instead. People with a different spirit are people who submit themselves to God's promises, not their own perceptions. Okay? We need promise, not perception. Because our perception will take us the wrong way. David Nellist, some years ago, those of you who remember David, and I think he got it from somebody else, but David used to say, "What you see will make you flee. What you hear will make you fear, but what you know will make you go." Amen. What you see will make you flee. What you hear will make you fear, but what you know of God's word, of the promises of God through his word, will make you go. Amen. See, what we see in the natural and what we hear with our ears in the natural can put the frighteners on us. And we can think, I couldn't do that. We can think, who's going to pay for that? We can think of all kinds of things, all kinds of reasons why we can't do what God is calling us to do. We can't do that. We can't possibly do that. Look at us. We're only a few in number. We can't do that. There were 2 million of them, and they still thought they couldn't do it. So don't think that numbers make any difference. The Bible says that God's happy to save by many or by few. So numbers are irrelevant. I like that Tolu said this morning, they're in a small church of 250. Praise the Lord. That's what I say. I went to a church on my one and only short visit to America, where all I saw was the hotel and the church, that was it, and the path between, and the road to the airport, that was my, of Portland in America, but I was in a conference there, I was staying in like a travel lodgy place next to this church, and the conference, Lewis Palau, was in the church, and the car park of the church was bigger than Asda's car park. I was most impressed. Praise the Lord. But God is not interested in numbers. God is interested in faithfulness. Being faithful to what we know is far more important than having vast numbers of people. Amen. You can build a church by offering freebies. Bert Clendenin used to tell the story of a Pentecostal church in Texas, who one Sunday morning, one of the deacons rode in a bicycle, rode it up and down the aisle, and then left it at the front by the altar. And the pastor made the announcement, anyone who brings anybody new to church gets the bicycle. Wow. And the thought was, well, if I can't bring somebody to church to save the soul, keep them out of hell and introduce them to Christ, I'm not going to do it for a bicycle. Amen? How ridiculous that we would try and offer rewards for bringing somebody into the kingdom of God. And yet people can be motivated by all kinds of things, can't they? Can be motivated by money in the offering plate. Oh, we need to build a big church because we need a big offering. Because we need a big offering because we need a bigger church. Let's be careful what we perceive. Amen. Be careful what we perceive. We need to submit to God's promises, not our perceptions. You see, people say, well, I'm an optimist. Well, that's good. It's better than being a pessimist. But being an optimist won't get you through life. Being an optimist just means that you make the best of a bad job. Well, I'd prefer not to have a bad job. Amen. I prefer the promises of God to optimism. We can have an optimistic outlook on life and it still all go wrong. But if we're hanging on the promises, not just optimism. You see, people would look at Joshua and Caleb and say, well, they had an optimistic spirit. No, they didn't. It was nothing to do with optimism. They had been told by God, they'd heard from God, they'd heard that statement, I am giving you the land. I am giving this to you. And they'd taken that and they'd taken it to heart. And when they'd marched up and down that land and they'd looked at everything that there was there, they were looking at it through that vision. It's ours. It's ours. It's look at this. Caleb, look at the grapes. They're ours. Joshua, look at the pomegranates. They're ours. Look at the cities. They're ours. Look at this place. It's all ours. And the other 10 were going, ooh. Had nothing to do with optimism. They were people who trusted God's word more than their own perceptions or feelings. Now, we all face challenges and difficulties. I keep thinking I have a list of challenges and difficulties at the moment that I need an iPad to keep up with them. And that's the truth. And it would be very easy to sit down and say, I give up. I quit. This is too much. But at the end of the day, God has said that all things work together for good to those who believe and are called according to his purposes. And I believe I'm in the purposes of God. That's not a boastful statement. It's taken me a long time to get there, but I believe that I'm in where God wants me to be. And I believe that if you're following the Lord with the whole heart, you're where he wants you to be at this time, whether it's in a time of blessing or a time of difficulty, whether it's in a land of fruitfulness or a land of barrenness. You're there for a reason, and there's a purpose in it. And we have to hold that thought. When everything seems to be caving in around us, we have to hold that thought. The Bible tells us that God's promises are more reliable than my feelings and my fears. Amen? The promises of God are more reliable than my feelings and my fears. Don't let yesterday define your tomorrow. And so, a people of a different spirit submit differently. They don't submit to their own fears. They don't submit to the age. They submit to the word of God. And they build their lives upon the foundation of what God has said, not what everyone else says. And finally, number four, they support differently to everyone else. Now, you're going to have to use your imaginations here now for this. Because this is, I'm taking a little bit of ministerial license with this, all right? Joshua and Caleb could have been, and possibly were at times, two of the most frustrated men in human history. Because they ended up shut out of the land that was theirs for 40 years because of a bunch of lying spies. They lost their chance to cross into the promised land and to be enjoying for those 40 years of the best years of their lives. Those 40 years of grapes and pomegranates and milk and honey. They tasted none of it. All they got was the manna in the wilderness and the moaning of the children of Israel. And the times when God dealt with them and the graves that were dug in the sand of the desert. All they knew for 40 years. And they must have thought at times, did we really see those grapes? Is it just in our imagination? And I can imagine the two of them, and it is only an imagining, but the two of them getting together. Yes, it was. It was real. We were there. You and I were there. Joshua, we were there. Caleb, we were there. We saw that land. We know what it's like. It's real. And it's not far away. It's just there. And all the time that they were going through that awful experience with that unbelieving people, they must have been encouraging themselves together, saying, one day, one day, one day, we're going to cross that Jordan. One day, we're going to enter that land. One day. The Bible says, encourage one another, especially as you see the days getting darker and the coming of the Lord getting closer. Encourage one another. Bless one another. Stir one another up to good works, the Bible says. Stir one another. You see, we're in this together, and we're in it together for a reason, so that we can encourage one another. People of a different spirit encourage one another in the work of the Lord and in the vicissitudes of life. Amen. People of a different spirit encourage one another. I can say that over the years, on many occasions, I've been encouraged. On other occasions, I've been thoroughly discouraged. And I'll tell you which is the best. Amen. It's much nicer to be encouraged than discouraged. I've heard pleasant things and good things. And I've seen and I've tasted and heard of many bad things. And I tell you which is the one that builds you up. The good things. The things of blessing. Amen. The remembrance of the grapes and the pomegranates. The remembrance of the milk and the honey. Not the, oh, well, this is wrong and that's wrong. And that encourages no one. Amen. We need to be a people who support one another. People of a different spirit support differently to everyone else. People with a different spirit support one another so that we can find and fulfill God's purpose. Maybe you're struggling today to hold on to what God has said to you. Find somebody who you can lean on. Somebody who can support you. Somebody who'll speak good things to you. Somebody that will walk with you. David had his Jonathan. Joshua had his Caleb, and Caleb had his Joshua. Moses had his Joshua. Amen. It's important. Elisha was the servant of Elijah. Find somebody that you can trust and ask them, will you pray for me? Will you support me? Will you help me at this time? Will you walk with me? It's great to have friends out there in the world. It's great to have work colleagues who will help us and bless us. It's great to work in an environment where people are friendly, but ultimately the ones who will and can really help us are the people of God, the ones who know where they've been and where they're going. Amen. The ones who are serving the Lord and serving His word. The ones who are speaking differently, hearing differently, seeing differently, submitting differently. Those are the kind of people that we want alongside us for life's journey. Those are the kind of people that will bless us and help us along the way. Amen. And so, as we close this morning, if we're going to enter into everything that God has got for us in this life, then we need to be a people who possess a different spirit. Let's be that type of people, and let's make sure that we're connected with that type of people so that we can find our place in the economy of God. And so we've got to see things differently, to say things differently, to submit differently, and to support differently. And if we can do all those four things, there is no reason why we can't move in and possess whatever God has in store for each one of us.